For the April 20th, 2010 meeting of the Sussex County Council. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, are there any changes?
No, I have no.
Does council have any changes for the agenda? Entertain a motion to approve.
You got it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approval of the minutes. In your packet this week were the April 13th minutes. Are there any additions, changes? If not, I'll consider them approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, I have three letters. The first is from the Booker Street Church of God. Dear Mr. Baker, upon examining our records, we see where we have overlooked our response to the grant we received. Thank you for your check we received for $500 for our ministry to assist homeless women. Homelessness is one of the community's greatest challenges. If a person does not have a stable residence, this can lead to many other issues in a person's life. Again, we appreciate you assisting us in this matter. Next item is from the American Red Cross. Dear Mr. Baker, our records indicate you may not have received an acknowledgement letter for the generous gift from Sussex County Council. Please accept our heartfelt apologies for this delay. In the series of catastrophic earthquakes that struck Haiti on the afternoon of January 12th, the American Red Cross mobilized immediately to provide the necessary resources to respond. We have already put the donation from Sussex County Council to work. With this generous contribution of $5,000 received on February 25th, 2010, we are helping to provide critical assistance to the untold number of people affected by the earthquake and its aftershocks. Again, thank you for your assistance. The last letter is from Dixie Boucher. Dear Mr. Baker, thank you for responding, but your answer leads to other questions. She's referring to a previous email. At the last ad hoc meeting, which you were not in attendance, when the question of amnesty for Ms. Sisk and Mr. DeMeo was brought up, Mr. Everett responded that that was an administrative decision, implying that the county council would have to be the ones to decide, or perhaps the county administrator with a question mark, not the committee. I would like you and Mr. Moore to get together and give me a definitive answer to the question. Who can grant amnesty for Ms. Sisk's situation? How can we take this hand out of the hands of the court system? The bottom line here is that I believe this is an unfair persecution because the circumstances for which she is being prosecuted, I firmly believe, must be reversed or rescinded or altered and changed in the code. It is an issue that will not go away. It must be resolved and changed and allow Ms. Sisk to be in violation of a code that I intend to see change is patently and inherently unfair. I am asking you, Mr. Moore, to tell me what can be done to stop it under the county rules, regulations, and responsibilities. This is where it started, this is where it needs to end, so we can address the future of this code. Thanks, Dixie Boucher.
Very good. Does council have any correspondence they'd like to read? If not, we'll go to Mr. Baker.
This is the first item we have is a proposed resolution to support community efforts to foster healthy eating and active living habits among Sussex Countyans. And with us today, we have a number of people from the Moores Foundation, especially Mr. John Hollis, and if he'd like to come on up to the podium and if he'd like to say a few words, but I'll read the resolution that we have proposed. A resolution by the Sussex County Council to support community efforts to foster healthy eating and active living habits among Sussex Countyans. Whereas the Sussex County Council declares obesity to be a public health issue and calls for action by community members to eliminate this threat to our society. Whereas obesity increases the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, reduces life expectancy, increases disability, decreases work productivity and school achievement, and increases health care costs. And whereas more than 36% of children in this nation are considered overweight or obese, with approximately two-thirds of American adults being classified as overweight. And whereas obesity in our society is an epidemic that threatens not only our health but our economy as well, costing the citizens of Delaware nearly $208 million annually for health care-related issues. And whereas there is currently an effort to transform Sussex County into an active living, healthy eating community with a goal to make Sussex County children among the healthiest in the nation by 2015. Whereas the Moores Health and Prevention Services has devoted resources, professional expertise, and the sharing of best practices in Sussex County and throughout the state in the fight against this epidemic. Whereas the Sussex Child Health Promotion Coalition has become a nationally recognized model of community empowerment for health promotion and has provided a unified plan for more than 150 partner agencies throughout Sussex County to work toward the elimination of childhood obesity and all its health-related problems. And whereas the County Council encourages local planning departments to incorporate it into their procedures and plans an aspect of healthy lifestyle design, which could include open space playgrounds and walking bike trails, and whereas it is the purpose of the county to preserve, promote, and protect the health and welfare of its citizens, beginning with its youth. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby pledges its support to the mission of making Sussex County a healthy eating and active living community and calls on all residents to take part in this ongoing effort to make Sussex County children among the healthiest in the nation by 2015.
Thank you. As Mr. Baker indicated, there's a number of individuals who are devoting a lot of their time, talent, and energies to this cause. And before I recognize them, I want to indicate one of the primary purposes of being here this morning is to commend this council. We have certainly, through this movement, and especially through the Sussex County Child Health Promotion Coalition, become a force, not just in Delaware, but now being recognized nationally for community empowerment. This would not have happened without this council. Your invested interest last several months ago when I appeared before you, and then when we had lunch together on February 2nd, 2010, we shared some information that we felt was upcoming, and that information is now starting to develop to where we're starting to see a leveling off of this health problem among Sussex County children. None of this would be possible without the Sussex County Child Health Promotion Coalition, and joining us today is Peggy Geisler, the executive director of the coalition, many of the board, Peggy's assistant, Kathy Van Skyver, the president of their board, David Crimmins, and part of the Nemours team, Ron Breeding. Just for a moment, I again want to revisit the idea that this council is unique in a very, very positive way in the fact that you're communicating, you're empathetic, and you're reaching out to support an idea that really 5 to 10 years ago was just a concept. I know Ron MacArthur is here as a member of the press. Many years ago would pioneer community runs and walks, but there wasn't a coordinated effort between child care facilities, schools, governing organizations, as there is now. Nemours chose 5 years ago to launch an initiative, and I'm proud to say chose to launch it in Sussex. That turned out to be a very wise decision for many reasons. The Sussex spirit, the Sussex way of doing things. But foremost of those reasons is this council and your responsiveness to your constituents, but also your responsiveness to a future vision, which includes, and I'm confident, particularly with the leadership and the help of the coalition, I'm confident by 2015 we will be able to declare that Sussex County's children are the healthiest in the nation. This is a national problem. It's a national epidemic with enormous cost, potentially, for health care in the future. We're progressive and moving ahead in Sussex County, again, because of this council. Many of you participated in a walk of awareness. It wasn't a fundraising walk last Saturday that had over 1,000 Sussex Countyans out. Many of you have advocated in various ways your belief in this vision. And I think it's important that we recognize that the Sussex County Child Health Promotion Coalition has become a national model for community empowerment. It's being recognized by the academic world. It's being recognized by the healthcare world. So there are many, many things that are absolutely great about Sussex County. Everett and I were talking before the meeting about a pride in Sussex County. But I would maintain to this council has taken a leadership to make Sussex County a national model for community empowerment in converting a community, this would be the community of Sussex, to a heightened awareness of healthy eating and active living. And it's just a beginning, but the early data is encouraging, and the words thank you don't seem adequate enough to this council for your vision, for your support, and for the work that you're willing to do with community-based grassroots organizations, schools, child care facilities, youth-serving organizations, community-based organizations. And all of this will come together this Thursday at 9 o'clock for the quarterly meeting of the coalition. You're all certainly invited. State leadership is recognizing this coalition and will be there. And in fact, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, the House of Representatives will pay a tribute to the coalition. And tomorrow, the Senate of the state will pay a coalition tribute. But with these tributes come a tribute to Sussex County. And I know we're all proud to live here, and we're proud to, I know you're proud to represent your constituents, and not only in other matters, but as far as the health of their family, you're taking a huge leadership step. I sincerely thank you.
Thank you. I've got a proclamation and a tribute for you.
Peggy, you want to?
John, you've given a lot of accolades to the Sussex County Council, but it's really a spirit of partnership that makes this county work. It's a rarity in today's environment that you have a government that is solvent, is responsible, is not looking to the people for more taxes, is not laying off employees. But beyond that, it's the partnering spirit of this council that has made things work in this county. We have a motto. Our official motto is Sussex County, your business partner. But really, we're also Sussex County, your nonprofit partner. And we do a lot without creating bureaucracies by partnering with organizations like yours. And it's diamonds like you two that make it possible and give us confidence to use those taxpayers' dollars in a very wise fashion. So I want to thank you personally.
I just for a moment want to commend Chip Guy and Dave Baker and Robin and Griffith and their entire and your entire staff for their cooperation ongoing. There's never a spirit of partnership that goes wanting when you work with those folks. We're going to have a very brief discussion with the press to drill down on some data that they may be interested in. But again, thank you all very much.
Okay, thank you. The next item is Habitat Stewardship Week, and with us today we have representatives from the Sussex Conservation District. I know Mr. Vanderwin's here, and I don't know if he'd like to come up. And I'll read the proclamation proclaiming April 25th to May 2nd as Habitat Stewardship Week, whereas fertile soil and clean water provide us with our daily sustenance, and whereas effective conservation practices have helped provide us a rich standard of living, and whereas our security depends upon healthy soil and clean water, and whereas stewardship calls for each person to help conserve these precious resources, now therefore the Sussex County Council does hereby proclaim April 25th to May 2nd as Habitat Stewardship Week.
Mr. Becker just saved me the problem of reading because he knew I'd probably fill that portion in. We've handed you this proclamation saying just what he just read to you, and we're proud to serve with you.
Right.
And Mr. Breen, he used to be on there. He's left town. How about you, Wendy? You're one of the board members. Would you like to come up?
Why don't you come up and get a photograph? It would be good.
This is one of my fellow board members, and
you can hold the proclamation.
Oh.
And Councilman Wilson, can you step into order for
Congratulations. Thank you for good work.
I do have a few comments we'd like to make. Thank you, President. Phillips and members of the County Council. We also have some other members of their commission here. I have Wendy Bradley, who is our Executive Secretary. Rich Hirschner is our accountant. And, of course, Wendy Baker, one of our commission members now. On behalf of the Sussex Conservation District, I want to thank you for proclaiming April 25th through May 2nd as Soil and Water Stewardship Week in Sussex County. As Chairman of the Sussex Conservation District Board of Supervisors, it is a pleasure to stand here before the Council each spring and say a few words on behalf of the Soil and Water Stewardship Week celebration and this year's theme, which is Conservation Habits, Healthy Habitats. For 55 years, our nation's 3,000 soil and water conservation districts have celebrated Soil and Water Stewardship Week. The theme, Conservation Habits Equals Healthy Habitats, reminds us that each of us can be good stewards of our natural resources at our homes and in our communities by creating good conservation habits. When we think about protecting and managing our natural resources, we can provide healthy habitats for the ecosystems on our planet. Each of us can make a difference by planting native plants or trees and flowering plants or trees to provide a habitat for pollinating insects. Over 80% of our flowering plants wouldn't survive if they weren't for pollinators. These flowering plants produce food for us to survive. A habitat is a place where something lives because it is adapted to find food, water, shelter, and space. It could be a plant, animal, or other organisms. People, plants, and animals all need space, a place to live, and food to eat. A habitat is where people, animals, and plants grow and live. There are habitats all across the country, and you can find them in forests, grasslands, deserts, wetlands, Arctic tundra, as well as right outside your back door and in your community. Over the past month, information has been provided to churches, libraries, and schools across Sussex County at no charge. During this stewardship celebration, we need to consider the importance of developing good conservation habits in Sussex County and in Delaware, because people, plants, and animals all need each other, and they all need clean water, air, and soil. Please join us in spreading the word that is everyone's responsibility to be good stewards of our soil and water resources. And again, we want to thank you for being able to do this each and every spring. It's a pleasure to be here each year. So again, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Doing a good job.
Thanks. Thanks for taking the time to come. Got all your farming done?
Mr. Baker?
Not heard of it.
The next item is stormwater and drainage issues. And last week, the County Council requested a discussion regarding drainage issues. So what we try to do is put together an outline of the various drainage-related responsibilities in Sussex County for your review. And I think you have a copy of that in your packet. First of all, we'll start with the Conservation District. Just to review this, since 1991, the district has been responsible in Sussex County for approving stormwater plans, reviewing and improving stormwater plans for land development activity in excess of 5,000 square feet in the county. So if the lot coverage is 5,000 square feet or more, they review the plans for related to stormwater. They also, of course, approve plans for subdivisions, major subdivisions. They are also responsible for inspecting and ensuring that the stormwater projects that they review are built and are properly built. Then they are also responsible for a post-construction, I believe it's an annual inspection, of private stormwater projects. They also maintain tax ditches in coordination with individual tax districts at the request of the individual tax district. And funds are provided from tax ditch organizations, the state and the county. They, of course, provide advice and guidance regarding various drainage issues, especially after this past snowstorm and all the wet weather we've had. The county does provide assistance to the Conservation District. This year's grants total $151,797. The state of Delaware, through DENREC, Division of Soil and Water, they also provide advice and guidance regarding drainage issue. They work on providing drainage solutions for individual areas, especially major subdivisions that were approved prior to 91 on a case-by-case basis. And that, of course, is subject to the availability of funding through the state. They do have a contact point with a phone number for drainage concerns, and that is 855-1930. DelDOT, they handle drainage issues related to state-maintained roadways in Sussex County. They handle that responsibility. Tax ditch organizations and homeowners associations, or tax ditch organizations, are responsible for maintenance of their individual tax ditches. The county bills and collects the individual tax ditch tax for each district. Homeowners associations are responsible for maintenance of stormwater systems within their development. Some other items to mention, the county is participating with DENREC and FEMA to administer, or will be participating with, to administer hazardous mitigation grants, which is a FEMA sponsored program. These are flood assistance grants funded 50% by FEMA and 50% by property owners for applicants who have a history of property damage from flooding. They have to prove that they are eligible for the funding.
They have flood insurance. They have to have had flood insurance, don't they?
Yes, mm-hmm. They do. However, we were notified recently that because of the recent storms that there may be some exceptions to that.
Oh, that would be
least
great.
At the present time. But each is reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Okay. And, you know, according to FEMA rules as to whether or not it is an eligible cost.
Good.
The county maintains and administers bonding for stormwater projects on behalf of the Conservation District. And we also participated in joint funding for level service assessment report back in April 2008. Our building code department, Andy Wright is here today, our county inspectors checked for a as per the building code, a 6-inch drop on the soil outside the house, from a 6-inch drop from the house to 10 feet out from the new house, as well as they also check for gutters and gutter pads to drain away from foundations. Basements are required to be sealed with French drains. So we wanted to present that to you to give you a little background and try to give you an outline of who does what and how it works right now.
Mr. Baker, how long has it been since we have required six-inch drops on soil outside, and then up to 10 feet from the house, and required gutters and that type of thing? How long has that been?
I'll ask Mr. Wright. Could you come up?
French drains is what I'm really curious about. Are we requiring French drains?
That is one option that we do allow in basements where you have habitable room. Other than that, there's waterproofing materials that can be applied to the outside of the...
Well, I know some things can be and some things are optional. I'm just trying to find out what do we require?
For basements?
For basements, they have to be waterproofed. So they could either provide some type of alternative method as of having
that's
water.
That's up to your judgment. Whether it should be French drain or what it
right.
should be.
Right.
Well, that would be the judgment of the contractor. In other words, you would just come in and say, you know, what have you done to mitigate this issue? And they'll say, we put a French drain in, or we've done
that's correct.
Waterproofing. So you'll just sign off on it. You don't know if it works or not because it's a new house.
Yeah.
Right. But basically, that's what's required. But they have to do something. You just check it off.
Okay. So yeah. I'm confronted with things like Indiantown Farms, where the houses are practically afloat This is a dry, this is a crawl space home, and then they almost looks like Venice, Italy over there, where they've still got loads of water all around them, you know, pools, ponds that hadn't been there before. But I talked to the folks, and I don't think they were aware of any kind of French drain or any kind of protection, but it's an older subdivision. Right. That's why I'm asking, when was this
to answer your begun? To answer your initial question, we started requiring the drainage slope away from the foundation in March of 2005.
Oh, okay. Well, this was built way before that. Okay. All right. Thank you. And another thing is, do I understand that a house built on a lot in an older subdivision has to have a drainage plan or not?
No, it does not require one by our department.
Why don't we?
It's a policy we've never had created one, as long as we go out there, you know, the lay of the land, and shows that there's a, when we go out to do an inspection, time of year, if it's in a dry season, then, you know, we can tell if it's been dry or not.
So you do look at it for
yes.
drainage
yes,
issues?
Yes, but we don't require it in order to for inspections or plan review, an actual lot layer. But when we go out there, we visually assess it and see if it's a suitable or not.
You do. So you wouldn't allow Phil to come in and you know, to drain the water off to other people's properties?
No, we wouldn't have any requirement for that.
But you would be able to prohibit
no,
that?
No, we would not.
You would not be able to prohibit that. That's one of my concerns. Okay.
I got a question. A lot of the subdivisions that have been approved, and you approve the drainage systems, and then the hairy homeowner comes back, and as they're doing the site work, maybe not a subdivision that where the developer's, you know, doing a build type of thing, but where they sell the lots, and then individuals come in and contract with a sub, you know, with their own contractor. Anyway, when they do the site work, they many times do their driveways, and then next thing you know, the drainage that was engineered. Mm-hmm. gets converted somehow, changed, and and then they don't realize it till a couple years down the road, and a number of them do it on one street or around the development. You end up causing, you know, flooding problems or lack of drainage. Is there any way that we can somehow curtail that? Because I know there's no follow-up inspections, and I don't think there are, unless there's a complaint. It's probably complaint-driven, but as somebody comes in, can our inspectors possibly be looking at, like, when they, you know, pour the driveway and break that apron area where, you know, they attach to the roadway system, and a lot of times there's a swale in there, and then they'll fill and put the culvert in there. And
certainly anything's possible.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm seeing problems.
It's within your administration, as far as how much requirements you want to put on
right.
a homeowner in order to get the final inspections, that sort of
right.
thing.
Right, that could be added to our list of
inspections. We've seen problems, like you said, that's been complaint-based, that we've gone out, and it's a matter of a couple extra bushes being put in, change of the landscaping,
yeah,
the change
right.
of soil that could cause the problems that could be, you know,
right.
alleviated.
And it's hard to come back after three or four of these homeowners have done it, and you've got all these driveways. Who do you make tear up? Nobody has, I don't think, the ability to make anybody tear anything
yeah, because
up.
Of the past weather, I've had numerous calls. We've had one in one homeowner in a development. They were the first unit in there, and they're kind of like in a little cul-de-sac. Well, the people that's built up around them, all their water draining on them, so he's had pumps that's been running pretty much
24-7.
Right, right.
So. Yeah, that is where I see a lot of... a lot of problems within subdivisions
yeah.
after the fact, three or four years down the road. I don't know if that's something that Dave, we, or administration can look at. That I guess when they pour their driveways and break that, like that apron area, I guess you call it, from the roadway, the private, you know, internal street system, and then the lot owner with his garage or driveway. And
yeah, our requirement, our policy has always been up to around the foundation of the house, make sure the water shed away
right.
from that. They have,
but you don't go out on the and
this
other
the
thing.
Yard, it's out there. It's,
I know.
It's,
yeah. Well, anyway, that's an area that
no man's land.
We get a lot of complaints, and when we're standing in somebody's subdivision, we just can look down the road and see all these driveways that have somehow messed up the whole engineered system that was approved by the, you know, the district and stuff. And
Mr. President,
yes.
Can I respond to that, please?
Please.
I think Mr. Cole brings up a very valid point, and oftentimes that does occur when a subdivision's approved. As he correctly indicated, there's an approved engineered plan for the drainage. As individual homes are built, The people that are contracting and building the home often don't know what those plans are. They run over the swales in the front.
Fill them.
They're filled in. I have represented some developers in the past who, as a requirement, have placed in their restrictive covenants that at such time as a home is built, that there is an escrow placed with the homeowner association or the developer. That escrow is kept until after the home is completely built. They then use that money to go out to pay an engineer to review that to make sure that they have put the ditch back in the manner that it should be.
Well, it meets the engineering.
So
it
meets the engineering, yeah. Right. And then if it does, any money is left over goes back to that homeowner. So that's a case where the private developer has stepped in because they had problems with the additional lots they were trying to sell in order to address that.
Everett, the question would be, how do we get something in place that would protect existing property owners, or the property owner who makes a mistake, or the one that does it right and the other ones do it? Anyway, we need to have something, maybe from the county level or from the district. I don't know. Somebody needs to do something in this area, because this is what's in all these subdivisions. Mm-hmm. You have many, many of these kind of problems.
You have to have a viable community association.
But can we require the, or some of people don't even have homeowners associations.
Don't have any.
Or not active ones. I don't know. It's something I'd like to see.
The Conservation District also comes in annually, I believe, to inspect the stormwater systems that are in place within the developments.
Yeah, but they're not. You don't go up and down every street and look at every house, and you're not there when the rains. Anyway, you're not seeing each and every driveway. It's impossible. Yeah. But there might be a way that we could trigger an inspection to make sure that when they cross that threshold, that apron area, that it is in compliance with the originally approved engineering plans, which were approved based on the fact that it was going to work. If you did it this way, it'll drain. And what happens, we tamper with them, and they don't work. So I just like to see, I don't know who's got the suggestion. I don't know what the best way to do it. But if somebody could maybe put that on a list of things that would probably correct a lot of issues, and I don't think it should be something that should cost a whole lot of money, but an inspection right. probably should be reviewed, or I don't know about keeping money, Everett, that might be awkward for the county to require that. I don't know.
Yeah. Is there any other comments, Mr. Wilson? Mr. Benson?
It's amazing how people want groundwater, drinking water. Yet nobody wants to see a little water stand up front on the ground for a while, for a week or two, so it can go down. Actually, they want it right on out the ocean. Then they complain next month, this summer, when the drought comes, what happened to the water? Well, we want to get rid of it. We want to rain all down the ditches to get rid of it. We don't. No, nobody wants any water hanging around.
So you
actually, this water, the good Lord puts down here, goes on down, and it becomes drinking water. I mean, it's just not a magic thing here. How's this water get here? How's it go in the ground?
We're not saying that it shouldn't go in the ground, Sam.
No, you just don't want it. Nobody else wants it. It's just like everything else.
It sometimes floods cul-de-sac streets, floods people's yards, and it shouldn't be. Because somebody else has done something, it's causing a flooding to a neighbor.
Mr. Vincent, have you any thoughts?
No, thank you.
Smart.
I've got
if there's a motion, I'd entertain it. Otherwise, I expect the county
Can I make a motion then that we have the staff come back with a recommendation on maybe addressing how we do follow-ups in the drainage plans.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yes. Motion and second. Any discussion? Take the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Wills. Yes, go ahead.
I have an area on Collins Road.
Let's take this vote first, please. Mr. Wilson?
I'll vote you.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yeah.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, not all of them evidently can be fixed. In the Collins-Russell development, I don't know if you're familiar with that, Collins Street, I've checked with DelDOT and Denrick, and there's just nothing they can do, and they're awash in water even now. And I don't know how we could solve that problem.
You won't be able to solve all problems.
It's got vacant lots that can be built on. Yeah, would we allow those?
I think Mr. Cole said a mouthful when he said we can't solve all problems. But probably Mr. Wilson
would. I think if
Wilson
the staff comes back with some good recommendation, maybe we'll solve some problems.
Well, we got to be careful, and we will take the advice of the administration under advisement.
Some people.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I deal with it though.
Mr. Baker.
Yeah. The last item we have is the administrator's report, and the first item there is APCO Awards, the Association of Public Safety Communications Officials, and as per the attached press release, we are pleased to announce that the Mideastern Chapter of APCO has awarded the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center and staff the following awards for the state of Delaware. Telecommunicator of the Year, Christopher Moore was the winner, and the runner-up was Todd A. McCabe, also a Sussex County dispatcher. The Center Director of the Year runner-up was Joseph L. Thomas, who is here today. Our RF Technologist of the Year was Harry Chip Larson, with a winner. IT Technologist of the Year, Jessica Hamanko, was the winner. And we received the Unit Citation Award for Delaware, Sussex County Emergency Operations Center, and SUSCOM. We were the winner. And these awards are in recognition of the outstanding service provided by our staff at the 911 Center. They especially recognize our contributions during specific serious emergencies, such as the Chad Spicer incident. And I wish to congratulate Joe and our EOC staff for how they handle these very difficult situations.
Very good.
Next is County Government Day. The County Government Day program, as in previous years, will occur tomorrow, April 21st, in the County Council chambers beginning at 9 a.m. As per the attached agenda, a mock County Council session will be held with Boy State and Girl State representatives. A number of interesting issues will be presented by department heads and considered by the group. This is always an interesting event and helps encourage interest in county government. The representatives from Boy State and Girl State are Sussex County junior students picked by each school district.
And as always, I'll be here to welcome them. I'd encourage other council members to come and share your thoughts with these young leaders of the future.
And Mr. Phillips was experienced in this when he was in high school.
I've got this certificate signed by Joe Conaway to prove it.
There you are. That's a good endorsement.
It's a good mentor, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Perfect.
Anything else?
Taught you a lot of things.
Anything else, Mr. Baker?
Yes. Dog control revenue report as of April 19th, a total of $57,640 has been collected by county staff for dog licenses since December. Inland Bay's regional wastewater facility, groundbreaking. Attached is a media advisory issued by the USDA Rural Development Office announcing a ceremonial groundbreaking on April 23rd at 1 p.m., which will occur at the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Administration Building off of Cannon Road near Long Neck. This upgrade will expand treatment capacity from 1.46 million gallons per day to 2 million gallons per day, enabling an additional 2,529 customers to be served by Central Sewer in Oak Orchard, Long Neck, and Angola areas. And is our understanding that the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture will be attending on Friday. Okay. Scrap tire drop-off day in Seaford, as per the attached press release. Scrap tires may be dropped off by Delaware residents on Saturday, April 24th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Seaford Boat Ramp parking lot on Nanticoke Avenue in Seaford. Ponders Track Trail opening. As per the attached invitation, the Nature Conservancy will be holding a trail opening at Ponder's Track at the Pemberton Forest Preserve in Milton at 1 p.m. on April 21st. County Council contributed $750,000 toward the cost of purchasing this property to be preserved. Substantial completion. The Engineering Department granted substantial completion to Windhurst Manor Phase 3 on April 14th. Developers Millville Associates, LLC, and Project is located in the Millville Expansion and Bethany Sewer District, consisting of 5 attached multifamily units. Thank you.
There is one housekeeping note. The resolutions that we offer can have the maximum significance if the council will entertain a motion and vote on them. I think that the resolution that is offered to John Hollis this morning for our healthy eating and active living habits among Sussex Countyans is worthy of a vote. If someone would make that motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed resolution to support community efforts to foster healthy eating and active living habits among Sussex Countyans. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries. Anything else for the county administrator?
I got a comment here.
Mr. Wilson?
On this dog license. $57,000. What's our cost, $600,000?
Over $600,000, yes.
Looks like my estimation, you're going to be a little short, aren't we?
Yes, that's for sure.
You could say that a little short.
I think it looks like we're going to have to ante up about $500,000 in the kitty here probably.
At least.
So no wonder Mr. Markell wanted to take this job. We lost about $500,000 so far.
Okay. Well, I bought mine.
Huh?
I bought a license for Barney, and the service was excellent. Thank you very much.
Good.
There you go.
I got one for Sam.
But I would have bought some for mine, but she died 3 years ago.
Uh-oh. Anything else for Mr. Baker? Mr. Goblin?
Did you get a permit to bury?